So this week, we're going to talk about patience, and we're in James chapter 5. So last week, if you weren't here, if you missed it or forgot, we concluded by saying that what we do with our money matters, because through it, we can see what matters most to our hearts, what matters most in our lives. But more importantly, we can see that the opportunity our money makes in changing the lives of the people God loves, the people that we should be loving, the people and our treasure, and how that becomes immutable as part of our legacy. Today, we're going to talk about how change comes just in time, and we need to be patient. James chapter 5, verse 7, we're going to start right away. And we're just going to look at these two verses today, and these are going to be the two verses that we look at in the book of James. And it goes like this: "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Here's the phrase that sums up everything that I want to teach you in Jesus' name today. And that phrase is, be patient until the coming of the Lord. Let me explain to you what that means, because I know this idea of patience seems to be loaded, because it seems very well to be subjective. It seems to be patience in our lives in the 21st century is nothing more than a moralistic philosophy based on circumstantial and subjective ideals about what patience really is. But I'm going to tell you, when the Bible says be patient, when James says be patient, he's not talking about being calm, about being peaceable, but what he's telling you is that we need to practice endurance. And what that means is, life is going to suck. There will be afflictions. There will be trials. But being patient doesn't mean that we just take it on one side and call it that. But that we live through it. That we endure through it. That we become stronger for it. That we become wiser for it. And that's what patience is. You see, patience in the eye of James is saying, this is how God will use my circumstance now to make my circumstance tomorrow bring him glory. This is what he means when he says, be patient until the coming of the Lord. You see, James writes this maybe towards the end of his life. He's patient. He's patiently waiting for Jesus to come back. And I'm going to tell you, by the year 68 or 69, Jesus does not come back. James was patient his entire life until he's stoned to death during an uprising. Just plain out. And this was his message. Be patient. Endure. Trials and afflictions are coming. But see what those trials and afflictions are doing for your future glory. Because God is about glorifying God where we are right now. See, some of us today, we listen to that and we hear this and we say, hey, I've been waiting such a long time. It's time for me to take matters into my own hands. And the best part about this is not that you have this can-do attitude, but the best part about taking matters into our own hands when we're waiting for God, when we're patiently waiting for God to come into our lives, is that when we take matters into our own hands, we have such limited foresight into what's going on in reality and what forces are actually against us, and we actually mess it up even further. We've royally screwed up, and we say, but God, what happened? What's wrong? You see, because the decisions when we're impatient, that is not being able to endure is that we make poor decisions. We make rash decisions. We make bad decisions. And it's not only a lack of faith, but a sin, because our decision making is based on this attitude of flying away, of flight. Not fighting, but flighting. This is exactly what James is preaching against. Because it's a lot easier to say that God doesn't exist and that God has no interest than it is to sit and fight strong. On the flip side of that argument, because I know some of you are racking up your brain saying, well, that's my attitude, that's my personality. I want to do everything that I can do to put into my own hands my circumstances. The flip side is that some of us will sit here and be lazy and say, God got this, and do nothing about it. It's a lazy approach to life, and that too is absolutely wrong, because that's not patient either. What that is a lack of faith, that you've given up hope that your patience will pay off when God comes. You see, this patience is an attitude, it's a mindset that ultimately makes us mentally strong, but spiritually fit, constantly renewing what matters most, driving us to do what matters most, envisioning how what matters most shapes and changes our decisions and actions. You see, because we're all alive, we're all saved by Jesus for a greater purpose than we may realize, for something greater than where we are right now, to do something bigger with our lives than to feed it. God wants to put glory in your life and in my life, but the only way he can do it is if we are tough and we patiently wait for God to come through and do something incredible with what he promised us he'd do. This is what James is talking about. This week, I had a rough time coming up with inspiration for myself. I would sit on the train, read the Bible, and yet when I read the Bible, it was just depressing. In fact, everything I read in the Bible, if you read 2 Samuel or 1 Samuel and towards the end of it, you'll notice it's all about running away. It's all about David running away from his problems. It's all about David trying to take control over his life and failing to take control over it. In fact, he loses more control. And he looks more pitiful, because as soon as he thinks his life is okay and that God is doing something good, his oldest son rebels against him. His oldest son makes his family name into a mockery and an embarrassment. He takes half of his kingdom, of his father's kingdom, even though he would have inherited it all, and leads a rebellion. And let me tell you about this guy. This guy is supposed to look like Fabio, and his nails, the Bible says, is nicely polished. He's no warrior, and yet he convinces people to lead astray and abandon his father who saved the country. Not once, but year after year after year. And David is distraught. David doesn't know what to do. And he takes matters into his own hands. And he messes up. And he asks God, why did this happen to me? And God says to him, you weren't patient. You didn't wait for me. And so he decided, I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to wait for God. Yet it wasn't waiting for God. It was him being lazy. It was him saying, I don't care enough about what happens in my life. And in doing so, more and more of his power left was lost because of his laziness. So at the end of the day, David's generals come and say, David, you're supposed to be a king, but you don't act like a king. You act like someone who doesn't know God. You act like someone who's too lazy to care about what he should care about. Get your life together. And this is exactly what James is telling us. When I was reading the Bible, I could feel nothing. Because if we are all heirs of Christ, sons and daughters of the Most High King, why do our lives look the way they look? Why do they not reflect God, His kingdom, His power? Why do we look so powerless? Why do we feel so insignificant? And that's when inspiration hit me. Yes, right now we may feel powerless. Yes, right now we may be failing. We may be tired. We may be weak. But now is a time we need to be patient. Now is a time that God wants us to give Him glory in our lives. Because my lack of a worldview should bring praise to my lips, because the power of the Holy Spirit will convince not only myself, but to the people around us that God is coming and that we believe it. And yes, we might not have any idea of when the Lord may come. We might not know, just like James had waited his entire life for God to come back. But it's in those moments, the long commutes, the horrible flights, the bad days at work, the exhausted mental states that we're in, tiredness, the boredom, where we praise God, where we say, God, let me bring glory in what I'm doing right now. And that is patient. That is waiting for God. If the sermon ended there, that would be easy, but it doesn't end there. In fact, I only got through the first half of the first verse. We're only looking at two verses today. You see, the second part of verse 7 is that this. James says, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. Now, if you don't notice, this passage is actually a reference to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 and 16. And you and I might not have known this because we don't memorize the book of Deuteronomy, because it's an incredibly boring book to memorize. But what the people James wrote to realized was that if you actually farm, late rains and early rains, those are all subjective. It doesn't matter. It just depends on what fruit that you're planting that year. But more than that, what we have to know is that you don't pick a fruit until it's ripe. But you don't really know when a fruit is ripe until it's ripe. Right? There's general ideas of when a fruit is ripe. Right? General time periods. But it's sort of dependent on how the rainy seasons go. Is it not? Right? Like, you know an apple is ready to be picked when there's an apple. And when it's big enough. But until then, it's just a flower and you sort of have to just wait. And that length of time when it's a flower, you just, what can you do but wait? You see, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 to 16 says this. And this is what God says. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, he will give the rain for the land in its season, the early rain and the later rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil. And he will give grass in your fields for your livestock, and you shall eat and be full. Take care lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Do you see how this relates to patience? You see, the farmer could have easily, just in the middle of all of this, said, screw it, I'm done. Let me just take what I can now. In fact, the farmer could have abandoned God and said, hey, I'm okay with just this much. But God tells Moses, if you love me and you serve me with all your heart and all your soul, then there's nothing for you to worry about until the day comes when everything is ready for you. You see, this sermon is called Just in Time. Just in Time. And our lives may feel like they're not happening on schedule. Our plans may be feeling like they're delayed. Things might not be happening as fast as we think that they should happen. But there is time. There is a timing. James wanted us to know that when we believe in God, that when we say we trust in what you're doing for our lives, we know that there's something else that we're waiting for. And that helps us solidify what we always knew deep down inside, that we were created for something greater, for something better. And this is not only what James lived for, but this is exactly what James wants us to live for. This is not the end. That this, we're in the middle of it. And we need to be patient. And we need to endure. Because when we pour out our heart and soul into the tasks that we have at hand, knowing that, yes, they may be dirty. Yes, they may seem small. Yes, it might be ugly. But we're doing this because we know that God has something better for us. We know that God has created us for something better. That God is bringing His glory into our lives through these ugly things, through these dirty things, through these hard things. That there, at the end of it all, is a harvest. It says here in Deuteronomy, our hearts be full. We shall eat and be full. This is truth. Anything aside from that, to think that we may be better than where we are now, to think that maybe getting to the next level without putting in the work, without enduring the work, is idolatry. It's not giving God the glory for your life. And this is not me to tell you and say, hey, be lazy. But this is me telling you, because the Bible is telling us that we need to power through it. That we need to stay strong for it. We need to not lose hope just because it's happening too slow. I know maybe your current predicament seems like it's not hitting all cylinders. But when our hearts and our minds are attuned to hitting all cylinders, where we are right now, to love God, to love the people around us in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, to pour out our lives for them, it means that we are patient. It means that we're doing what we can do. It means that we're waiting the way God intended us to wait, to maximize the best potential, the most potential that comes just in time. I want to go back to this farmer in James, because this farmer is very interesting. It almost seems like this farmer doesn't know exactly what's going on. You see, because the farmer waits for the precious fruit, being patient about it. And I already explained to you that being patient is just mustering up enough commitment to pour out our heart and soul into loving God. So when James says, not only is he patient about it, but he waits. I don't think he's telling us that we just need to muster up enough courage. But I think he's telling us something else entirely. In fact, isn't he saying that when we're waiting, because when the farmer waits, he's not just waiting, but he's actually doing something. In fact, the farmer is doing all that he could that's in his control to do while he waits. To understand this more, we have to look in Mark. In Mark chapter 4, and this is where I'm going to conclude, Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29. And I want you to see this for what it is, because it's very relevant and applicable to our lives. And it goes like this. And he said, and he being Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. First thing is, very simply, our lives are just like this farmer, right? There is no roadmap for our lives. There is no Google Maps. There are no directions. It doesn't come with an instruction manual. We sort of have to wing it, if you will. We have to play it by ear. And if the first thing you should notice about this man in the story that Jesus is telling is that you don't actually farm this way. Like, you don't just randomly throw seeds into the ground. It doesn't work that way. If you've seen a farm, they till the soil, right? They make holes for the seeds, and then they stick the seeds into the soil where they put the holes in, and then they cover it up, right? This is sort of how it works. But this guy here in the story is just, I'm going to randomly scatter, right? The word scatter means just throw randomly. And he randomly throws seed on the ground. And then he goes to bed. He goes to sleep. He doesn't actually know how this process works, right? Because it says he rises at night and day and the seeds sprout and it grows. He knows not how. You see, things in your life happen and you don't know how or why they happen. In fact, that doesn't always seem that whenever we're trying to be impatient, that is, trying to take control of our lives because we can't see what's going on, we really can't explain it. Isn't that where our lives often lead? And isn't that where we often make mistakes? Because we can't actually see what's happening because things are happening that are out of our control. And while we did all that we could by scattering the seed, we're just like, huh, what to do? What to do? Yet this is the circumstance. This is the reality of our lives. We kind of do stuff that is to scatter the seed, and then either we're not patient, and so we try to take control, try to make things grow, try to make things happen without really understanding how to make things happen or make them grow or make them do the things that we need them to do. And things just sort of happen as a result, but we still don't understand it. And some of us, what we'll do is because we're so on top of our stuff is that we'll take our sickle and we'll, you know, start cutting off things in our lives that doesn't seem like we actually put them there, or that they seem out of place, or things that are not ready. And when they're not ready, we start to peek too early. And when we peek too early, we actually miss the opportunity that God had set aside for us. You see, but on the flip side, some of us, we don't even actually scatter seed. We sort of say, hey, God, we're going to be patient for you and we're going to wait right here. We have all these seeds. We have these things called school. We have these things called job applications. We have these things called friends, and we sort of just leave them there. And we go, oh, it's in my nice pouch. I'll just leave it there. And we do nothing about it. You see, this is really a twofold thing, when we are patient and when we wait. Because when we're patient, we actually do everything in our power to do what we can with what we have without being lazy. And at the same time, without trying to undercut when things are ready. You see, at the end of the day, what James is telling us is this, that there is no such thing as the right time, except when it's just in time. See, the late rains and the early rains, you don't control that. You don't know what's going to happen. The only thing you can control is you can do what you can do, the best that you can do it, and keep an eye out. Pay attention to when things are ripe in your life for the taking. And that can only happen when we are seeking to glorify God every single moment of our lives. When we're looking to see not what may be in the best interest for you, but in the best interest of loving God the most and the people of God the most. Mark doesn't say to us that we need to be lazy, but he says go to sleep, doesn't he? In fact, this farmer just goes to bed night and day. He sleeps, it says. And I find this so interesting because this is absolutely true, because some of us don't sleep because we have so many nervous energies in our lives, don't we? We have so many things that we're thinking about all the time. He says, forget about it. You did the most that you can. Now sleep. Get some rest now, because worrying about it is not going to help you. Worrying about it is not going to make the blade and the ears and the grains of wheat come out faster. They're going to happen when they happen, and you can't control it. In fact, you're not going to even know how it works. But you will know when you wake up in the morning that you need to get to work, because there's a harvest for you. There's a harvest so great. In fact, the Bible says elsewhere, Jesus says elsewhere, that the harvest, you will reap and harvest what you didn't even plant. And this is exactly why James says you need to be patient. Because when you're patient, when you endure through the trials, there's a harvest out there in your life with things and opportunities that you didn't even sow, that God has given for you for the taking when we're ready to take it. God just comes just in time for us to reap the harvest. When Jesus died on the cross, and he waited 3 days to come back to life, he waited just in time for us to believe. You see, when we were saved the first time, God waited just in time for us to understand it in our heads, what this salvation means to me, what this salvation means to you. When God waits just in time to give us the opportunities that we've been patiently waiting for, we'll find that we've endured through hard times, believing that there's something better for us, that there's something more for us, because that's exactly why Jesus created us. That's exactly why Jesus saved us in the first place. We need to be patient and we need to establish our hearts, because when we wait for it, God's glory is at hand. God's glory is upon us. The harvest in our lives will be plentiful. The impact that we have in the world would be boundless, but only if we're patient, only if we endure, only if we set our hearts and establish our hearts in trusting God, that he has a bigger plan for us than we have a plan for ourselves. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you. You saved us for a reason. Some of us may not understand that reason yet. Some of us may be trying to figure out how to navigate the circumstance that we're in. We might be asking ourselves, God, why is it so dirty? Why is it so ugly in our lives? Why are things so messed up? Why aren't things going right? Lord, some of us may even be tired and depressed. But Lord, I ask that we can bring you glory, that we can praise you, that we can love you, that we can trust in you, and that we can trust in you because you bring power at just the right time. Lord, I pray for all of us who are here and listening to this message, that if we're discouraged, if we're tired, if we're feeling lazy, if we want to give up, that now is a time to make a commitment to endure, to stay strong, to be strong, to be at the right frame of mind that we need to be in, to do something amazing for your glory, because God, you live for your glory. You save us for your glory. You give us harvest for your glory. And I ask that we can reap that harvest, that we can bring glory to your name through our lives, through our actions, through our breathing and our breath and everything that we do. I thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.